Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom to everybody. Shabbat Shalom to our brethren around the world who will be following with us today, coming from Israel. And it's exciting, a lot of things going on. We were talking about it before services, so many things in world events and so many things that are happening. And while we're already into July, the feast is only a couple of months away. And we got people coming from all over the globe. So we invite anybody who's out there, please, we welcome you to come and spend Sukkot with us, or anytime, come to Israel, come to the land, and spend a Shabbat with us over here. I want to talk on a fairly serious message today of a problem that we see in the world today, particularly in the West, and that we have to cautious ourselves for, and it's called spirit of compromise. Spirit of compromise. And we were talking here before the service started, and just saying how many times I talk about your environment. Your environment is 90% of your battle, and whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. Everybody here has been at the school, you understand that. And what happens is when you're around a certain environment for any period of time, it will affect you, you know, and you'll start getting used to it. You'll get adapted to it. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because there's times where you might have lived in Florida your whole life and you have to go up to Alaska. You know, and at first you go and you're cold and you don't know what to do and you don't think you can handle it. But the way that Yahweh made us is we will adapt to almost anything. You know, and unfortunately, when you're dealing in the society today and you're dealing with Babylon and you're dealing with everything of the, you know, world democracy and the things that are going on, I think because it's so overwhelming in the West, that so many people have conformed to it without even realizing they're conforming to it. And this last trip to the United States, not only in the congregation, but you know, in the world, in family members, in neighbors, in almost everybody, I saw a spirit of compromise this time that I don't think I've ever seen in my life. I mean, even where believers accepting outright adultery, somebody who is married to a spouse, supposed to be a believer, and somebody else in the congregation that they went and had an adulterous affair with, and then is living with the person behind their husband's back, and that's being accepted. And they're saying, well, we shouldn't judge. And basically, that person is even accepted in the congregation. And I say, is this what we want to teach our children? Because it's certainly what I don't want to teach my children, and I don't want to teach your children this. So, although you know, I don't want to be judgmental and I don't want to come down hard on people, I don't apologize for standing against adultery. I don't apologize for standing against lying and deceit and gossip. I don't apologize for that. And I'll stand as hard as I have to stand against those things, because they're against Yahweh. They're against His Spirit. They're against everything that deals with Him. And we're seeing this on a more normal level. It's in life. It's every day. People in the workplace. You know, over the last 20 years, it's cutthroat. And people will go into a work job, whereas before, your workers were like your family. You know, 25 years down the line, you got that gold watch, and I mean, everybody was happy for you, and you would go to picnics. It's like they became your family, where today, it's nothing like that. You know, you're young, you come out of college, and you go in there, and that boss who's over you, you're seeing that that could be your position. And everything is to cut down, to backstab, to defile. And it's the world we're living in. And like I said, we shouldn't be surprised, because it's prophesied. All you have to do is read 2 Timothy 3, and you'll see in the end time, people are what? They're lovers of money, selfish, you know, without natural affection. They're liars, they're truth breakers. And this isn't only in the world. Timothy is prophesying, or Paul is prophesying through the book of Timothy, that this is going to be in the congregation. This is in people who are claiming to be believers. You know, and We see wheat and tares, you know, we see all these different parables in the Bible. You know, they said to Yeshua clearly, in the end time, will many be saved? It's a pretty simple question. And His answer was astounding. No, many will not be saved. Strive to go through that narrow gate, because many will strive and will not have strength. And we're living in it. We're seeing people fall by the wayside, because they don't have the strength. And why don't they have the strength? Because they're not praying without ceasing. They're not studying their Bible day and night. They're not staying connected to the congregation, to their mother, and getting the nurturing that they need. They're not fasting often. They're not meditating on Yahweh. But they're allowing the spirit of compromise to come in the world. In the last few years, I've been to congregations that I've been invited to speak to that were not congregation of Yahweh. But again, we're one tiny part of the body of Messiah, you know, and we accept any congregation who keeps the commandments. And I've been to many congregations as a guest to speak to. And I've been to places where literally people in these congregations were working on Shabbat. And they would say it with no ambiguity. Oh yeah, you know, I try to keep Shabbat the best I can, but if I have to work, what am I going to do? Yahweh wouldn't want me to lose my job, would he? You know, so we're going to take to the creator of the universe, we're going to take our reverence, our servitude toward him, and we're going to put that aside because we're going to go and work a job because we're afraid of losing a job. It doesn't work that way. And like we went over last week, the man who was stoned to death, you know, for doing the exact same thing, that Yahweh's way is not a way of compromise. And if there's one thing I can say to people in the end time we're living in, if you're going to endure to the end, don't allow any compromise to come in your life. And I always say, we don't want to be Pharisees, but you want to be, what you want to be is you want to be flexible without compromising. So again, when it comes to the clear word of Yahweh, when it comes to sin, there can't be any compromising. But when it's not sin, we have to be flexible. We don't want to be judging each other on the clothes we're wearing and all these other things that are our opinion on what is this or what's that. But when it comes to the clear word of Scripture, we want to be uncompromising. Uncompromising whatsoever. In Jacob 1:27, and I'm telling you, I'm scared to death. The fear of Yahweh has been putting me like I've never had in my life on this last trip to the United States. Because it's one thing to see it. It's always been there. It's everywhere in the world. You know, it's in Israel, the same thing. But to see people accepting to it. I've been almost 30 years in this walk. And I've never saw a time where believers are so accepting to compromise and just not even realizing that there's anything wrong with it. But Jacob 1:27, what does it say? Pure and holy service before Yahweh and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their afflictions, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. To keep oneself unspotted from the world. And I'll say this with no uncertain terms. If we are not sanctifying ourselves away from the world, you're not going to make it. That road that gets more narrow and narrow and narrower and constricted and hard. If you are not sanctifying yourself. Now again, I'm not saying move up to the mountains, because Yahweh says we need to be in the world but not of the world. We need to be a light in the world. We work in the world. We witness to the world. We do all these things. So I'm not saying, you know, to go to the mountains of Montana and hide away. What I'm saying is worldliness. Worldliness. By partaking in the worldly things the way the world does it. And I'm going to talk a lot about that today, because that's really what the spirit of compromise comes from. That really what should be happening is by our examples as ambassadors of Yahweh and separating ourselves, you know, and being separated to truth, our example should be an example to other people that should be drawn to that. But a lot of times it's the opposite. A lot of times brethren and congregations want to be like the world. I know that when I was in Church of God, you know, they tried to do sports just like the world. The world had their CYO and they had their COY or whatever it was, COJ, you know, it was some kind of youth organization for sporting, for YOU, I think they called it. And they tried to be the same way. And that's not what it's about. You know, sporting is good, and athletics is good, and bodily exercise profits a little, but competition is bad. Competition is not good. Competition is of Satan. And you're taking youths to compete against each other. To give this one a medal, and this one didn't get a medal, and to compete. And what did that does? All it does is bring envy and strife. I saw even adults sometimes fist fighting. Some were deacons, men that I knew for years, that were the mildest manner of people in the congregation. And they got on a basketball court, and they're punching their brother, you know, over a rebound or whatever it might be. And like I say, pure and holy service before Yahweh and the Father is this, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Your environment is 90% of the battle. And the more you are in these environments, the more it's going to affect you. Met a man here a couple of years ago. Came to the feast. in Jerusalem. He wasn't part of our congregation, but guests are always welcome. And he was telling me that where he lives in Canada, that he lives in the most worst area where all the prostitutes are and all the bars and everything. And he stays up all night long and he goes around trying to hand out tracts to these people at night. And I'm reading the Bible and trying to show them that these evil things that happen in the night, we shouldn't even talk about it. We should be nothing near there. But he pridefully wanted to say, I'm going to reclaim this area for Yahweh. And my question was, whoever said Yahweh claimed the area in the first place? Did Yahweh claim areas that have prostitutes and bars? You know, is that where you're going to find fruit? But who knows? I don't know everything, you know, maybe something. So I asked him the simple question. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. How long have you been doing this, so-and-so? I've been doing it for 3 years or 4 years. How much money did you spend? $10,000, $20,000? How much fruit did it bear? None. None. Not one. Not one bit of fruit. Don't you think maybe you should try? No. Nope. I'm going to continue with this because I'm claiming back this area. Spirit of compromise. You really think that you're going to put yourself around that environment and that's not going to affect you? You're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. Because what goes in is what goes out. It's the same with food. You know, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What we put into our body is what we become. And there's a reason why obesity in America is almost half the people. There's a reason why diabetes and these other things are there. Eating all kinds of fast foods and synthetic foods and these kind of things. Proverbs 14:14. Says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, but a good man from himself. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, but a good man from himself. And that's part of the problem that, remember the Laodicean. The Laodicean thinks he's rich and made himself rich and increased with goods in need of nothing and doesn't realize he's poor, he's blind, he's miserable and naked. So in the Western society today, you know, in the confusion of Babylon, what you're seeing is, you're seeing people that think that they're right with Yahweh, and yet their lives are the total opposite. The compromising spirit, you know, the things that are going, the way they're going, the shockingness of a lot of things that's going on there. And unfortunately, you know, like they say with somebody who is a drug addict or whatever, you know, recognition is 90% of the battle. Until people realize that some of these ways are affecting them, there's not a whole lot you can do to help them. So when we're looking at the spirit of compromise, I want to get down to just some specifics that we can look at to kind of measure ourselves, because it's a big subject, spirit of compromise. Compromise what? In what ways? How? So what books are we reading? What books are we reading? Are we reading novels, fiction, science fiction, Star Wars, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Chronicles of Narnia, all these other things? What books are you reading? You know, or are you basically reading the Bible most of the time? And if it's another book, it's something connected to the Bible, a reference book, a story on something, history or whatever. What books are you reading? Remember, like we said with food, you are what you eat. It's the same thing. You know, what you read is what's going into your mind. What are you bringing in there? Anything that is not of the truth is lust. Should only read edifying things. Anything that we read, you know, whatever you do in word or deed, do to the glory of Yahweh. You know, so there shouldn't be a switch we turn on, or a Sabbath switch, where we're one way and then the rest of the week. People ask for years, they say to me, what kind of music do you think is appropriate on the Sabbath? And my answer has always been the same. Any music that is appropriate for the other 6 days a week is the same for Shabbat. I mean, I wouldn't listen. Any music I'm going to listen to, I should be able to listen to every day. We listen to nice music, messianic music, instrumental, but it's all something with Yahweh. You know, okay, maybe here and there could be a song you like that might not be, but I'm saying 90% or more of any music you're listening to should be something connected to Yahweh, something connected to the scriptures. And if it's not, this is something that you should be thinking about. Why on earth would you be listening to these bad music groups out there, even rap? You know, I mean, shocking, but there's believers that actually think that rap music is good. They'll have their iPod and they'll listen to these things. And all day long to be pounding this into your ears and pounding it into your ears. Things that have nothing to do with Yahweh, but are only things that are actually affecting your brain cells. What about TV? The same videos you're watching TV. You know, why do you watch the movie you're watching? Would Yeshua watch what you're watching? It's a good question to bring up. Is it edifying? Is it something that you're going to come out of what you watched and you're going to be closer to Yahweh? You're going to be more motivated to help somebody? You know, or was it simply just for entertainment reasons? When you look at Hollywood, where does Hollywood come from? Hollywood. Hollywood was the wood of Merlin the magician's wand. And Hollywood is not coming too many things for Yahweh. You know, so Hollywood is there to entertain. So when, not that it's wrong to watch videos or watch videos at times, but it should be something that's edifying to Yahweh, to yourself, to your family, to the brethren. You have to look at, we are the most unrighteous, lustful system ever in the history of the world. I'm saying the world at large. And of course, that system started in Babylon, America, and it's come to the world. So not only is Western society this way, it's one of the things why Islam is so at edge against America, because America is trying to bring the tight genes and their Western culture to Islam, which they don't want. And in that case, I don't blame them. But considering that they're, and I don't think anybody can argue with me, there's never been a more unrighteous system. The Bible clearly says it's like the days of Lot and the days of Sodom. It's like the days of Noah. So knowing that, knowing how unrighteous it is, don't you think that we should even be more cautious on the things we're reading, the things we're watching, the things we're doing? Because if we're just looking around at the other people, And I'll give you a good parameter. Maybe the people watching this won't get this, but everybody here will because you were at the Bible school. Our teacher at the Bible school, wonderful man, rabbi, and a really, really nice guy, somebody I admire a lot, a rabbi, and a good man. And I like him. I consider him a friend. But when I look at the music that our teacher was listening to, I was appalled. Some of the things he was suggesting to watch on TV, I was absolutely appalled. And I wouldn't watch those things. You know, because I know they would affect me in a bad way. And we have to think about that. You know, Proverbs 20 and verse 8 says, do not even look upon the evil. Are we eating from the tree of good and evil, or are we eating from the tree of life? What is it? One or the other. We want to be able to tell the difference of good and evil instead of only seeking good. You have to know the difference of good and evil. And unfortunately, many today, they don't. They don't know the difference between good and evil. And the comment that was made, well, there's some good in rap music. I said, no. Rap music, if you look at the origin of where it came out of rebellion. Even just the way that rap music is, it's unsettling to your heart and your mind. And rap music is not something that's good. How can we watch murder and lust and adultery and think it's not going to affect you? Believe it or not, in years past, I've been in brethren's houses after Shabbat. And they wanted to watch a movie that would have, you know, some form of cursing or adultery or something. We wouldn't watch it. And they were offended at us that we were judgmental because we wouldn't watch an R movie like that. No, I'm sorry. I don't want to see those things. You know, and they did a study. I mentioned this at the feast when I did a study on the internet that by the time a child is 12 years old because of TV and movies, they've seen something like 25,000 murders. I mean, you really think about it. Like never before in the history of man. Remember, TV and all these things, they're just in this generation. So before that, 95% of people would never even see one murder in their life. And if they did see a murder, it was traumatic to see somebody actually be killed. Today, we are so hardened to it because you see it every day. You see it every day, not just in movies, on the news. You know, showing, killing, and murdering, and just like, you get to the point where it just, you get conditioned that it's a normal part of life, but it's not a normal part of Yahweh's life. How can we have our children watch videos of action figures, evil toys, you know, all the, whatever they call them, transformers, toys that turn into evil monsters. And people, I've seen them even bring to services, things like that. video games. Children that are as small as 6 and 8 and 9, 10 hours a day just clicking on a video game. And I mean really, really evil stuff that even the government had to start monitoring these video games because kids were going out there and doing violent crimes and everything else because of how wicked these video games have gotten. Worldly influences, and you wonder why the next generation, our children, are falling from the truth. In the generation we're living, it's something like 80% of second generation believers do not stay with the truth. That's a scary figure to me. And I don't want one of my children to be one of these casualties. But how can we think that we're going to throw our children in the public school system where they're being taught that Yahweh doesn't exist? They're teaching them evolution? That there's a creation with no creator when they're this big? They're teaching them all of this wickedness? Teaching them homosexuality is a choice? And we think that our children are all of a sudden, mysteriously at 18 years old, going to accept the truth because we brought them to Sabbath services once a week. It won't happen. And like I said, this generation shows us statistics, 80% or higher, second generation children do not stay with the truth. And it's because we are not guarding our children properly. Spirit of compromise. Spirit of compromise. We shouldn't want what the world wants. Why do we teach our children fantasy? Why do we think it's okay to show our children VeggieTales that show King David as a carrot or cucumber or whatever it is? King David's not a cucumber. Show me the Bible. Show me the Bible where you ever see a child being taught fantasy. I look in the Bible, I see Samuel as a boy that's just weaned, 5, 6 years old, working in the tabernacle of Yahweh and being taught from that young age about Yahweh and his ways. I don't see fantasy being taught. I do not see fantasy being taught. And when you look at these VeggieTales, beside the fact of King David and these people being cucumbers and vegetables, there's many things, because we watch them, that are added in that are not biblical. They're adding to the story. Yahweh says, you add one word to my word, you'll be taken out of the book of life. And many of these things, to make them whatever, dramatic or maybe more interesting to kids, they're adding to the biblical stories things that are not in there. There's no white lies to Yahweh. That's simple. No white lies to Yahweh. A lie is a lie. It's black and white. Something is either of the truth or the evil one. All lies are of the devil. Anything not of the truth is a lie. How on earth can we teach our children about Spider-Man and all these other things and then tell them that Santa Claus is a myth? We want to be so strong, right, against Santa Claus, and then we're teaching King David is a cucumber. We got to be consistent. And again, spirit of compromise. Spirit of compromise. And we know children are small. They need to be taught in a different way. We have to teach them things that are interesting. And I praise the Father for people just in our congregation, you know, that have thought of ways, you know, like the puppets and different things, to teach the children properly, to make it interesting in a way for a young mind that they're interested. I thank Yahweh, you know, because we have, just in this room here, we have a lot of ingenuity that is very much appreciated and needed in the body of Messiah. Alternatives to the ways of the world, you know, alternatives. And that's what it's got to be. It's got to be an alternative. If not, what's going to happen? They're going to go the way of the world. We are perverted by our culture and conditioned from the lukewarm attitude around us that it's okay. I'm okay, you're okay. That's the way it is. But that is the Laodicean spirit at its height. And it's permeating everywhere. And what does Yahweh tell the Laodicean? To be zealous. We got to get zeal. We got to come out of that lukewarmness and get zeal. We must recognize the fact and make a dramatic change to our lifestyle. Again, internet has its place. It's a way of life now. You know, it's almost like trying to tell people maybe 70 years ago not to make a phone call. You know, and it's a way of life. You know, without a phone today, phones help in a lot of ways. And the same with the internet. There's good and there's bad to the internet, but it's got to be monitored. You know, it's got to be monitored. We got to watch our time that we're doing on it. We got to watch where we're surfing on there and what we're doing to it. And again, the internet can also be used for gossip, for lies, for all kinds of wicked things that we don't want to be part of. This is Satan's society, and every part of it is affected. Like we said, who's creating a lot of these movies, a lot of these things? Where is it coming from? It certainly is not coming from Yahweh. And it's serious. Our eternal life is at stake. It really is. You know, as the bottom falls out, and like we said, when you look just what the Bible talks about in the end time, the narrowness of the road, our eternal life is at stake, and we must remember that. Let's go to Joshua 7. And I'm going to start in verse 10. And this is with Achan and the cursed thing. And Yahweh said to Joshua, "Get yourself up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel had sinned, and they also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, and have also taken of the cursed things, and have also stolen, and also deceived, and also put them among their stuff." So what is the story that we're getting into here? That Israel is conquering a land, and what are they doing? They're taking of the cursed things. Everything I've just talked about up to this point are all cursed things. They're all evilness. It's all things of the world. It's all things that Yahweh wants us to abstain from. And Israel was taken from the cursed things and bringing them into the camp of Israel and putting it among their stuff. And the sons of Israel have not been able to stand before their enemies. They have turned the back before their enemies because they have become cursed. I will not be with you again if you do not destroy the cursed things from among you. And one thing, we just talked a little bit about it before, but we have to realize that, you know, Yahweh's congregation is one, it's Ikad, it's united, and when you bring a cursed thing into the congregation, even if you're putting it under your bed the way this guy was, he didn't bring it before everybody, but by having it in his possession, he was defiling everybody in the camp. And what did Yahweh say? Yahweh's blessing was taken away. It was taken away from everybody because of what one person did. And we have to realize that today we're in an age of, hey, don't tell me what to do. You know, hey, when I get in my room, whatever I want to do, that's up to me. It's like, no, not when you're part of the body of Messiah. We are all accountable to each other. All of us. You know, we're accountable to each other because we're one body. And things that I do during the week, or you do during the week, or things we watch or see, or things we have in our possession, yes, it affects all of us. And it can bring Yahweh's blessing greater on all of us, or it can withhold Yahweh's blessing from us. So there is an accountability to each other in the body of Messiah. And somebody who tries to avoid that or gets mad, that's simply being selfish. That we are all accountable to each other. And the sons of Israel not being able to stand before the enemies, we just read that because of that. Verse 13, "Rise up, sanctify the people, and you shall say, sanctify yourself for tomorrow. For so says Yahweh the Elohim of Israel, a cursed thing is among you, Israel. You are not able to stand before your enemies until you take away the cursed thing from among you. And you shall be brought near in the morning by your tribes. And shall be the tribe which Yahweh takes shall draw near by families. And the family which Yahweh takes shall draw near by households. And the households which Yahweh takes shall draw near by men. And it shall be, he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of Yahweh, and because he has committed folly in Israel. And Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel near by its tribes. And the tribe of Judah was taken, and he brought the family of Judah near. And he took the family of the Zeharites, and he brought near the family of the Zeharites by men, and Zabni was taken. And he brought near his household by men, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabni, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said to Achan, my son, now give glory to Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, and give thanks to him. And please tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, truly I have sinned against Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, and this I have done. When I saw among the spoil a goodly robe of Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, one of 50 shekels in weight, then I lusted after them and took them. And behold, they are hidden in the earth in the middle of my tent, and the silver under it." Isn't it pretty interesting? He's taking all these things from Babylon, the gold and the riches and possessions of Babylon. And Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was hidden in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the middle of the tent and brought them to Joshua and all the sons of Israel and laid them before Yahweh. And Joshua and Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the robe, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his ass, and his flock, and his tent, and all that he had. And they made them go up to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "How you have troubled us! Yahweh shall trouble you today." And all Israel threw stones at him, and they burned him with fire, and they stoned him with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones to this day, and Yahweh turned back from the heat of his anger. On this account, the name of that place is the Valley of Grief, Achor, until this day. So here it was, even though the sin was totally hidden in the ground, it was affecting everybody. So we have to realize that each of us are accountable to Yahweh, first of all, but to each other, and anything we have in our life that may be defiling the camp, we want to make sure we're dealing with it. Deuteronomy 19. And verse 18. Says, "And the judges shall carefully investigate and behold, if the witness is a false witness, and he has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he plotted to do to his brother, and you shall put away the evil from among you. And those who remain shall hear and fear, and thereafter shall not add to commit any such evil among you." And we went over this last week. I'm not going to go over all the scriptures, but there were a fair amount of scriptures in Deuteronomy that all talked about putting away the evil from among you. It's important that each of us, you know, have to look in our own hearts. You know, the Bible says in Peter, if we judged ourselves, we wouldn't have to be judged. And it's not a matter of each of us trying to get in everybody's room and looking under their rug to see if there's, you know, a cursed thing there. It's about each of us looking in our own hearts and our own lives, seeing where we're falling short, making a greater commitment to Yahweh than ever before, and not allowing a spirit of compromise to come into our life. Many times, there's brethren that are keeping contact with worldly people. Could be people they work with or whatever. Not to say you can't have any contact with people, but I'm saying on more, you know, I had a brother tell me a few years ago that he said, "You know, I feel more comfortable with my worldly friends than I do with the brethren." I said, right there, you know what your problem is. If you feel more comfortable with your worldly friends than you do with the brethren, what is that telling you? You're way too worldly. You're way too worldly. You know, and there's got to be changes made in your life. So again, all of us, we work with people, you know, we have family and friends that aren't converted, but I'm saying as far as quality time of our life, you know, should not be overabundance with people that are not converted. There should not be an overabundance of that. Many times people claim that they're with these people because they're going to convert them. And unfortunately, the truth is they're near these people because they're comfortable with them, because these people are like them, you know. And I've even had people tell me that the reason why they go to bars, some people, brethren, go to bars every week because they're witnessing to the people at the bar stool, you know, and they're really making progress, you know. By the fourth beer, wow, you know, we're really making progress now, you know. But again, it's not the way Yahweh says. He says, put the evil away from us, it's compromising. It's a spirit of compromising. And two things are happening when you're with unconverted people. Either you're affecting them or they're affecting you. There is no such thing as neutrality when it comes to that. Bring the spirit of Yahweh with a spirit that's not of Yahweh, and two things are going to happen. You're either going to convict them or they're going to convict you. It becomes one way or the other. And you will become like the people you're with. It's that simple. We experienced that at the Bible school. And I believe that everybody left there a stronger believer. Because united, we made each other stronger. If you separated all of us, I think we're all pretty good people, but I don't think any of us are, you know, a King David. But collectively, I think we had the strongest group of people I've ever been with in my life. Because each of us made each other stronger by that. And it's just a proven fact, like I said, you will become like the people you're with. So you want to make sure that you're with people that are going to edify your life, people that are positive, people that are strong in the faith, people that are going to lift you up, and not people that are going to draw you to compromise. People that are going to draw you away and continuously be trying to tempt you, that Satan will use for temptation. You know, whether that's breaking the Shabbat or doing whatever, or, you know, whatever it is. Believe me, we all know it happens. 1 Corinthians 15:34. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Says, awake your hearts. Oops. Oh, 33, I'm sorry. Do not be led astray. Bad companionships ruin good habits. Bad companionships ruin good habits. And all of us, I think, if we're honest with ourselves, we know it. I know myself that if I'm around good, strong believers like yourself, I'm going to be stronger. I know if I'm around people that are not strong believers and people that are compromisers or people that are backsliders, it's going to affect me. I know it. Because I'm a human being, like anybody else. So bad communications ruin good habits. And like I said, either you're affecting them or they're affecting you. And you got to know, because again, your environment is 90% of your battle. And you don't want to put yourself in an environment that it's impossible to succeed. Where you're in an environment that you can't succeed in the way of Yahweh. You know, that it's just too hard or it's going to drag you down too much. 1 Corinthians 10. Go back a few chapters there. And I will start in verse 12. Same subject. So that he that thinks he can stand, let him be careful that he does not fall. Today you've got a lot of people that have exchanged a local congregation or fellowship with the brethren for an internet relationship where they're, you know, their congregation is just getting, surfing the internet on, you know, 100 different ministries, and then they'll email people, and they don't need relationships like this anymore. They don't need to be with people on Shabbat. They don't need to nurture and build real relationships because you have this false internet relationship that goes on there. And like he says, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. And I'm not that naive. I know I need brethren. Because that's the way Yahweh made it. I know no man is an island. I know you can't be alone. You need the support of other people. Because every brother and sister has a different spiritual gift. And that's the way we glean from each other. And that's the way we grow when we're together as a family. And we're sharing our testimonies and we're sharing our gifts. But if I'm only by myself every Shabbat, and I'm never with the brethren, and when the holy days come, I'm not gathering like it talks about, you know, I'm forsaking the gathering of the brethren during the holy days and other times, what's going to happen? I'm not going to build that strength that we need. So he who thinks he stand, take heed that he not fall. No temptation is taking you except what is human. But Yahweh is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested above what you are able. But with the trial, he will also make a way out so that you may be able to bear it. On account of this, keep away from idolatry, my beloved. And I'm telling you, it talks about it in Jeremiah 50, that Babylon is a land of idolatry, and it is the absolute truth. Babylon is a land of idolatry in every way you can think of. And like I was just saying, you know, you go back 100 years ago, or even go to biblical times, the way that Yahweh made creation is that the calendar that we see here, the biblical calendar, is our whole, it's our whole life. Because at the beginning of the year, when you're seeing the Aviv, you know it's the new time. You're seeing the buds that are coming up. The holy days are all surrounded around it. You're getting the barley that's coming. And then you're going to Shavuot, to the grain harvest. You've got the fall harvest. Now you can look around. You're starting to see the little pomegranates getting a little bigger. And you can know exactly the time of the year it is. And Yahweh made it that way. Because so that we pray to Him as a people for rain, for a harvest. And then when the harvest comes in, what do we have to do? We have to prepare all that stuff. We have to dry out our fruit, you know, so we have some for now, some for later. We do the same with your olives. You do it with most of the things, you know, and that's what it is. Our life is around worship through His creation. But Babylon is the land of idols. You don't have to pray for Yahweh for food. Just go to the supermarket. You don't have to pray for Yahweh for anything. Healthcare, it's given by the government. Obamacare. You know, whatever you need. You know, the big problem why Babylon is sinking is because of all of these entitlements that are given out. That the people can live in America. If people are honest with themselves, any American can live without Yahweh. But not one American can live without the government. And just that being a fact, it's got to tell you that it's a land of idolatry. That is idolatry. You know, they force you to put your kids in public school system. They force, the government's going to educate your kids. The government's going to give you your job. The government's going to give you health care, entitlement, retirement. and everything else. And if you believe in some, you know, Yahweh from the Bible, boy, are you a fool. Matter of fact, you might even get arrested because you ain't even a fit parent if you believe in that. What? You prayed for your child when he's sick? You didn't get those 39 vaccinations? You're an unfit parent. That's what they want to do. See, it's not your child anymore. They're a child of the state because the state has become Elohim. It's idolatry. It is a land of idolatry. And like I said, people are so conditioned by it, they don't even see it for the idolatrous thing that it is. That's why Yahweh says, come out of her, my people. And I'm not talking about just getting on a plane or a boat and leaving the land of America. I'm talking about coming out of that idolatry first. Many people start it by coming out of religious idolatry. Come out of Santa Claus, come out of Christmas, come out of the Easter Bunny. That's just the very beginning. And then they stop. They stop. They continue to put their children in schools that deny Yahweh exists. Why on earth for a second would I put my child in a place that denies Yahweh? That is going to teach my young child that there's this creation that came on its own. There's no creator. I'm going to teach my children homosexuality and every other thing. No way. You know, no way would I willingly give my children over to a system like that. And that's what it's about. It's a system of idolatry. And it has become the God of these people. So he says, keep away from idolatry. I speak as prudent ones. You judge what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, the Passover, is it not a partaking of the blood of the Messiah? The bread which we break, is it not a partaking of the body of Messiah? For just as the loaf of bread is one, we pass one loaf around that we all partake, for we are all one body, for you all partake of the one bread. And that's what I said. We are codependent on each other. We need each other. We're one body. There's no separate ministries. You know, Joe Smith Ministries. Hey, you know something? I don't like what's going on here. I'm going to skip town and start my own ministry. You don't see that in the Bible. You see there's one body. There's one faith. Look at Israel, whose observances is according to flesh. Are not those eating the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What then do I say? That an idol is anything? Or that an idolatrous sacrifice is anything? No. But the things the pagans sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to Yahweh. But I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the master and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of our master and the table of demons. Or do we provoke our master to jealousy? Or are we stronger than he? I've met many people in the States that still will celebrate Christmas. They'll say, oh, I know it's wrong. But they celebrate it. You know, they'll still celebrate. They'll still do these things, even though they know it's wrong. Why? Because it's a spirit of compromise. Because their mother or their mother-in-law or whoever it is going to give them such a hard time. I know people that work on Shabbat in their job because their boss will fire them if they quit. Spirit of compromise. And what does he say? You cannot partake of the body and the blood of the Messiah and go back and partake in these evil, wicked things. You can't do it. He will not accept that kind of sacrifice, and he shouldn't. Why should he? With what he gave to us. Heaven's best, Yahweh sends his son and everything he went through. You know, that we learned at Passover time. And that we meditated on before we took the bread and the wine. Why should he take a half-hearted effort from us? Because we don't want to sacrifice nothing. When the Bible says we should sacrifice everything. Every day of our life we're losing something till there's nothing to lose anymore but your very life itself. That's what Yahweh requires. There's nothing in this life that we should be hoarding or holding on to. Everything is lawful to me, but not everything is expedient. Everything is lawful to me, but not everything profits. There's things Yahweh gives you today. Use it for His glory, and tomorrow give it to somebody else if you don't need it anymore. But the American way is the total opposite. It's grab everything you can get and hold on to everything. Hoard, hoard, hoard. Total opposite of what a true believer is about. About the sacrifice, about the giving up. And that's why it's the system. It's the system of world democracy. Get 20 different insurances. You know, buy a brand new refrigerator that's 25-year warranty and get an extended warranty on that. You know, I mean, I think that's the craziest thing in the world. I'm going to worry about a refrigerator 25 years down the line that's supposed to be brand new? But that's the system. Everything in Babylon is protectionism. It's protecting everything you have. And unfortunately, it's not just material things. that the people there now are protecting their pride, their reputations, all these things. And it is a land filled with idols, and it's a land that's just roving with pride. And people become almost unapproachable, some of them anyway. So it's something we have to make a choice, but we can't do it both ways. Sanctification is to get us apart from the world. The Shabbat, the holy days, clean and unclean meats, everything. These are to sanctify us from the world. You cannot partake of the table of Yahweh and the table of demons and what they sacrifice to demons. It's very clear. It's to protect the holiness of the Spirit of Yahweh. And it's a command. It's a command that we're commanded to sanctify ourselves and protect the holiness. Haggai 2, in verse 11. So says Yahweh of hosts, now ask the priest the Torah, saying, behold, one bears holy flesh in the wing of his garment and touches his wing to the bread, or boiled food, or wine, or oil, or any food. Will it become holy? And the priest answered and says, no. You have something that's holy, and you touch something defiled, it doesn't make the thing defiled holy. And Haggai said, now though, if the unclean of body touches these, is it unclean? And the priest answered and said, it's unclean. So if you have something holy and you touch something defiled, it doesn't make the thing defiled holy. But if you have something holy and touch the defiled makes the holy defiled. And Haggai answered and said, so is this people and so is this nation before me, declares Yahweh, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer is unclean. I've had people say, they'll work on Shabbat and they'll give the whole salary to Yahweh. Wow. I mean, you really think Yahweh needs blood money? You know, he's making a commandment that you work 6 days and you rest on the seventh day and you honor him as creator of the universe. I'm going to go one better. I'll work the seventh day and I'll give him the cash. That's not what he requires. But that's the spirit of compromise that comes in that people want to do. And that's why he says every work of their hands is defiled and unclean. Because they're bringing a defiled sacrifice before him. They're compromising. They're bringing it out of sin, and they're trying to bring it before him and thinking that Yahweh is going to be acceptable to these things. And like Yahweh says in the book of Jeremiah, don't think I'm like you. The fact that you haven't been judged yet doesn't mean that I'm like you. And the judgment is coming. And I honestly think the judgment is coming sooner than a lot of people think. 1 Kings 18, one verse. 1 Kings 18 and verse 21. Talking about Eliyahu the priest, and we were all at one time or another up there where this happened. We all know the story of Eliyahu fighting the priests of Baal. But I just want to read one verse when he's talking to the people that are worshiping Yahweh on one hand and worshiping the priests of Baal on the other hand. In 1 Kings 18:21, Eliyahu came near all the people and said, until when are you limping over two opinions? If Yahweh is Elohim, follow him. And if Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. So what is it? If Yahweh is Elohim, if it's all true, if it's real, if what he's saying is there, if he is the eternal creator of the universe, then what's the problem? What's the problem? If Christmas and Easter and all these other things are vile and pagan and wrong, you know, then what's the problem? What's the problem? Does Yahweh divide to two opinions? No, he's saying that. That we can't allow our environment to affect us to a spirit of compromise. You know, I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago, Roland did a message at the feast. I think it was called something like, what's your problem or something like that. And I love the message because he said, it's not as difficult as people make it out to be. And he read the scripture, I think it was in Deuteronomy 30, where Yahweh says, you know, his word isn't across the ocean. It's not, you know, up in the sky. It's there before you. You know, it's in your mouth and in your hand. It's there before you. We've read this book 1,000 times. We've had the best training that probably any believers have ever had in the world at the schools that Yahweh's made available for us. You know, he's taught us, he showed us, we've seen this land of Israel, we've traveled around, we see things that you couldn't imagine in a lifetime of seeing. What is the problem? It is very simple. It is very simple. And Yahweh's words and his Torah and the doctrines, they're not that difficult. I mean, we have concordance and lexicons and be able to look at it in Aramaic and Hebrew. And it says the same thing. It really is not that difficult. But people with a spirit of compromise, that's what they want to do. They want to tell you it's difficult. What's so difficult about baptism? I can show you 50 scriptures that talks about baptism. And you receive the Holy Spirit of baptism and the laying on of hands. And people want to fight it. Some people want to call it heresy. Can you imagine what the Apostle Paul would say? You know, that someone saying teaching that you need to be baptized is heresy? What book are they reading? What on earth book are they reading? And it really is not that simple as long as you don't have a spirit of compromise. If you read this book every day, you know, with the spirit of Yahweh, and we come together, we talk about it, it really is not that difficult. You know, in everything that we teach, we have Bible lessons, we share it. There's nothing, we don't sit here and say, believe it because I said it. No, we have the scriptures on every single doctrine. You know, even something as simple as Saturday to Sunday. 99% of Christianity believes Sunday is the day of rest, where there's not one scriptural evidence. And we can, any of us can sit here and show somebody scripture after scripture after scripture, clearly showing the Sabbath is eternal. It was in the old covenant, it's in the new covenant, it'll be kept when Yeshua returns. There's at least 50 or more scriptures that Paul and the apostles kept the Sabbath. Hebrews 4:8 says the Sabbath remains a day of rest to the people of Yahweh. Why do 99% of Christians keep Sunday? Spirit of compromise. Christianity is a religion of compromise. And yet that compromise, it's crept into the Messianic movement, and it all comes from the culture of Babylon. It is a culture of compromise. You know, going all the way back to the Cold War. Russia is our enemy, but we sit down and we talk with them. Iran, right? Isn't Iran the enemy of America? Do you know how much oil we're buying from Iran and Venezuela? Well, can't stop buying the oil, you know? I mean, come on, car's got to run. That's what America is. It is a system of compromise. They have no moral values. They stand on nothing. From the government on down. From the government on down, they will compromise. Look at, are they an honest broker here in the Middle East? You know, is the American government really standing up for Israel? Or are they standing up for the Palestinians? I think at this point, I'd say neither. And that's what compromise is. It's neither. They're not standing for the Palestinians and they're not standing for the Israelis. They're trying to stay in the middle and compromise and make a compromise. I don't think Yahweh made a nation here after 2,520 years for compromise. He made a nation here. He brought these people back from the ashes of the Holocaust to fulfill his will. He doesn't need compromising of man. He doesn't need compromising of the quartet. He will fulfill his purpose in this land to the very breath. Well, we are witnesses of that. We don't need to compromise. We need to stand for the truth is what we need. King Saul lost his kingdom because of compromising. Yahweh told him directly what to do. Pretty simple thing. He didn't listen. He lost his kingdom because of compromising. Moses lost out on coming into the promised land because he didn't sanctify Yahweh in the eyes of the people. That's what it says in Numbers 20. Yahweh told him to strike the rock, you know, or speak to the rock. And he struck it twice instead of speaking to it. And what did Yahweh say? Because you did not sanctify me in the eyes of the people, you will not enter the promised land. You know, like we said last year, consequences of our decisions. Proverbs 1. Proverbs, the first chapter. Verse 10. He says, my son, if sinners lure you, do not be willing. If sinners lure you, do not be willing. Remember, Satan is a roaring lion looking for who he can devour, and he will try to get you any way he can. He knows our weaknesses, he knows our strengths, unfortunately. And he will bring any stumbling block before us that he thinks can affect us. Why does Yahweh allow it? Because in the long run, it builds our faith. And the long run, if we overcome it, Yahweh can use it for the good. But never forget that, that Satan is a roaring lion. My son, if sinners lure you, do not be willing. Do not be willing. Verse 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and they haste to shed blood. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4. It says, no one serving as a soldier entangles himself with the affairs of this life so that he might please the one having enlisted him. Read that again. Really great scripture. No one serving as a soldier, in the verse before that says, then suffer hardship as a good soldier of Yeshua Messiah. So he's given an analogy of us as soldiers for Yahweh. No one serving as a soldier entangles himself with the affairs of this life so that he might please the one having enlisted him. You know, when you're a soldier, you're giving your whole life over to that military. You're giving your whole life. You're giving your submission, all the things. And he's saying, with us being the soldiers of Elohim, the soldiers of Yeshua, we can't tangle with this life because then you're serving two masters. You're serving with two masters and it's not going to work. It will vex your spirit. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11. He says, but now I wrote to you not to associate intimately if anyone is called a brother and is either immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortionist. Would such a one do not even break bread to eat with? For what business is it to me to judge the ones outside the congregation? But you may make judgments on those inside the congregation, but Yahweh will judge the ones outside, and you shall put out from yourself those wicked persons, what we just read. Put out the evil from among you. It's our moral responsibility to each other to make sure that we keep the congregation clean, ourself and everybody else that's here. But again, like I said, when it's a compromising spirit, even the most outlandish situations, outright adultery, that people will accept it. They will accept it as if nothing is going on. But if you live in those kind of situations where there's moral laxity, it will vex your spirit just like Lot. It will vex your spirit over and over. We have to sanctify ourselves. Genesis 7. In verse 9 and 10. And this is right after Noah built the ark. Yahweh's getting ready for the flood. And a very interesting thing happened right before the flood came. Chapter 7 and verse 9. Two by two, as Elohim had commanded Moses, they went into the ark, male and female. And it was after the 7 days the waters of the flood came into the being on the earth. And like I was talking today, you know, that when you look at the numerology, 7 being Yahweh's number of completion. Isn't it kind of interesting that it takes 100 years to build the ark? They bring all the animals in. He takes them in to sanctify them away from the society, closes the door for 7 days. And then the flood comes. And I believe, spiritually, we're in that same time period now. You know, we were talking about before, and I'll update in our newsletter this coming week. There's a lot of different things when you look in the world today. From Iran having nuclear capabilities now, that has been confirmed this week, to these different planets that are getting closer to the Earth that possibly could change the magnetic field, to, you know, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, the wars that's coming over here. I mean, there's a lot of things, like they say, the perfect storm that's ready to happen. You know, America, they're just twice now, two articles that came up just this week from Moody's and S&P that if they don't solve this problem in the next couple of weeks, they will lose their AAA rating. And it will send a shockwave in the financial markets like you can't believe, because it'll change all the interest rates, they'll default on their loans. It's going to cause big problems. And when you're that far in debt, what's the answer? Just raising the debt isn't going to help. And you're seeing this. We're seeing all of the aspects coming for the perfect storm. So if there's ever a time that we're seeing to enter the ark, I believe it's now spiritually. to sanctify ourselves away from the world, and whatever it's been in our life that we've even been holding back a little bit, to make that full commitment to Yahweh. To make it more, because again, the closer you get to Him, it's for our benefit. The closer we get to Him, the more you're praying and studying and singing together, it only benefits us because we're in the right perspective to worship Him in the right way. Because when you're part of the world, and like we said, you are what you eat, and you're around a worldly environment all the time, your mind is being corrupted. How on earth would a corrupted mind, can you get on your hands and knees and pray to Yahweh and worship Him? It's impossible. You can't partake of the table of Yahweh and the table of demons. So sanctification is not just a good idea, it's life. It's the way that you will have the proper mindset for worshiping Him. And if you want to truly have that gift of worship, that's what it comes down to. You have to be sanctified. You have to have your mind properly set to be able to give Him the honor that He deserves, you know, and that He requires. Noah and the ark. We can't wait. Matthew 25 is a great warning on this very subject. Because, you know, when the door was closed, the door was closed. 7 days, I'm sure those people were laughing and joking, maybe throwing rocks. But when the rain started to come, I'm sure there were fingernails scratching on that door to get in. And that's the scary part. When the door closes, it won't be open. Matthew 25. And verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 virgins who, taking their lamps, went out to the meeting of the bridegroom and the bride. And 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. Like we said, the same thing we see, this pattern. Half on one side, half on the other. Sheep and goats, wheats and tares. 10 bridegrooms, 5 foolish, 5 wise. Those being foolish, taking their lamps, did not take oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But the bridegroom delaying, all nodded and slept. And I think that's the situation that we've been in, where everybody for a while fell asleep. Then all of a sudden now, there's awakening that's happening. And at midnight a cry occurred, "Behold, the bridegroom comes, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins were aroused and prepared their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourself." Where are the people going today? Putting Yahweh's word in a cart. 1999. You can't make the kingdom without this. 1999. And that's where they're going to. They're not going to the scriptures. They're going to the marketers. But they, going away to buy, the bridegroom came. And those ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. What did we just read in Genesis 7? The door was shut. And afterwards the rest of the virgins also came, saying, "Master, Master, open to us." But answering, he said, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore be alert, for you do not know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man comes." Now again, it wouldn't be in there unless there was a good reason for it. And Yahweh has given us so much signs to see. We're at least getting close. No one knows the day or the hour. But I'd rather be overzealous with preparing and be off and over-prepare and have to wait than not being prepared and have him come early. That would be the worst thing. It's like anything else. If I have an important meeting, I'd rather go there and sit in that office for 1 hour and be early than take the risk of not knowing where I'm going and wind up being late. You know, so you can never go wrong by over-preparing. You can never go wrong by... That's the reason why Yahweh made every generation think they could be the end time, so that everyone would be prepared and always to be working the hardest and not compromising. You know, your life would be very different if Yahweh came here today and said, "You know what, there's 1,000 years before I return." I know my life would be different. I wouldn't have that sense of urgency to work as hard as I can right now. And he wants us to have that sense of urgency. Because now, actually, it is getting ready to happen. It's got to happen sometime. And we happen to be the ones that are living in the generation where it will happen. So it's much safer to keep that sense of urgency. But man, you don't want to be outside when that door locks. Because clearly, like he said, in Genesis, and we read it here in Matthew, it will not be opened. It will not be opened. And from Revelation 7, a great multitude where man could not even number had to go through tribulation because of the spirit of compromise. They had to be purified, and they're not being purified today. Ephesians 5:3. Ephesians 5:3 through verse 5 says, "But let not fornication and all uncleanness nor greediness be named among you as is fitting for saints. Also cursing and foolish talking or witty insults, none of which are necessary, but rather the giving of thanks. For you should know this, that no one guilty of fornication or unclean person, nor a covetous one who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of the Messiah and of Yahweh." Drop down to verse 11. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather condemn them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things being done by them in secret." So again, these evil, wicked things, you know, we know about them. We don't have to hear all the gory details of what's going on in these places. We don't want to know. We know it's bad enough that it's bad and to avoid them. Because like he says, it's shameful to even speak of the things being done by them in secret. Must separate from the world. Hebrews 5. Be done here in a few minutes. Hebrews 5 and verse 11. He says, "Concerning whom we have much to say, but it is difficult to explain, since you have become dull in your hearing." And it's part of the problem. "Many people in the Laodicean era have become dull in hearing. But now you should be teachers because you have been a long time in training. But even now you need to be taught again the beginning fundamentals of the words of Yahweh. And you are still in need of milk and not of solid food." We are at a time that potentially can be the greatest harvest ever in the history of mankind. And where everyone that is a strong believer in the faith should be out there, you know, in ministry and working. We're at a time where, you know, In most of the messianic movement, in these congregations, they don't even have basic doctrine. So how can they teach? How can they be part of it when they don't even have it? Like he's saying, at a time where they should be teachers, they need to go back to milk. "For everyone partaking of milk is without experience in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat is for those full grown, having exercised the faculties through habit for discernment of both good and bad." Strong meat is for those full grown, having exercised their faculties through habit. Neuro-associated conditioning, what we talked about at the school. Doing it over and over and over again. Majoring in the minors. Getting it down. Knowing the doctrines of Yeshua in and out and in your sleep. That you could be sleeping and say it. Because there's no way that you can be used powerfully unless that. You've got to have the foundation. Remember, the man whose foundation was on sand, the wind came and blew it away. You've got to have that foundation on stone. And one of the things that will help you not have a spirit of compromise is that you have to know your beliefs. You have to know your doctrines. And right after that, what does he go into? He goes into Hebrews 6, the basic doctrines of the congregation. The milk, the simple things that people call heresy today. Laying on of hands, baptism, you know, repentance from dead works. The simple things people don't even know. And we need to know them inside and out if we want to move on to perfection. "Without holy living and discipline," like it says, through habit. It's got to be a habit. You've got to do it every day of your life. Reading your Bible, praying, studying, meditating, fasting. It's got to be every day. "Without holy living and discipline and discerning good from evil, you are a babe according to the scripture. You will never move on from the elementary teaching." Proverbs 1 and verse 7. Like we said, you want to put yourself around people. Iron sharpens iron, as a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. You want to be around people that are going to lift you up. Proverbs 1 and 7. "The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 9, 6 through 10. "Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. He who reproves a scorner gets shame to himself, and he who rebukes a wise man gets his own blemish. Do not reprove a scorner that he not hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give to a wise one and he will be more wise. Teach a just one and he will increase in learning. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So that's what it's got to be. You know, and I was mentioning to somebody, I was listening to this tape, and they were talking about some of the most successful people in the world, you know, the richest people in the world, and the way that they got successful was their learning capability always continued. No matter how rich they would get, they never got to the point to think, well, I know everything, you can't teach me. You know, what is our learning index? Our learning index should always be a 10. We should always be teachable. Will we listen? Or will we forsake the truth like the foolish man? Ecclesiastes 12, you don't have to go there, but it says, remember your creators in the days of your youth before the time of trouble comes. That time of trouble is right around the corner. And like I said, now is the time to make that commitment. Now is the time that if there's anything in our life that we need to overcome, if there's any spirit of compromise, if there's anything that we see that we're doing toward the way of the world and not toward the sanctification of Yahweh, now is the time to change it. Now is the time to get our life in order before the time of trouble comes, like it talks about in Ecclesiastes here. Remember 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad communications ruin good habits. You will be like the people you're with. And it's important, you know, who your inner circle is. Either you are affecting them or they're affecting you with a spirit of compromise. Chances are, at least in Babylon, it's the later. You must get into the ark and be sanctified before the time of trouble comes, or literally, we could risk our eternal life. We must realize how Satan has affected every part of society and examine every part of our life to see if it's holy. We must not ask simply if something is sin, but is something holy. And what you're doing, is what you're doing going to draw you closer to Yahweh? Or is it something that is enslaving you to Satan? How sanctified are you in your life? And how much compromise do you have? Your eternal life may depend on the answer to that question. So, again, in the times we're living in, I mean, I think a sermon like this is important any time for the last 2,000 years. But considering the times we're living in, I think a message like this is vital for people to really look at, to fast about it, to pray to Yahweh. Because our eternal life is depending, and time is going quick, days are going into weeks, weeks are going into months, months are going into years, and the time for Satan's world is ending. It's coming to an end, and Yahweh's kingdom is just around the corner, where it will be a kingdom of righteousness and good, a kingdom where all will worship Yahweh in spirit and truth, and there'll be no spirit of compromise. So Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.